Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good, thank you. Cool, so we're here today to continue the Breaking Bad podcast, Season 1, Episode 2, Cats in the Bag. What did you think of this episode?
I really like this. I mean, it's been a while since I've watched it, which is great, because, you know, I going back into it and, like, watching it over again for the first time, you know, he's like watching it for the first time again, because I couldn't remember exactly I knew the kind of basic outline of where things were, but I couldn't remember exactly what happened. So, you know, I knew where they started and where they ended, but, so it was really nice going back into it and watching it again. It's another great episode, and I'm really enjoying going back and just watching through these things again, you know. And I get to the end of the episode and think, I could watch another one. It's very bingeable, the show.
It is, yeah, which I found out in the summer of 2014 when I did just that. I love this episode as well. I think one thing that Breaking Bad does really well early on is the story is quite basic at this point in the story. It's, you know, Jesse and Walt, they're making crystal meth, they're dealing with these two people, Skyler thinks something's up, and it's quite basic. And you think of where, obviously we won't spoil the future of the show, but you think of where we kind of end up and how a bit more complicated things get and how many characters are introduced and all that. I kind of realize that, like, Breaking Bad early on does the simple stuff really, really well, and makes the simple stuff and the simple storytelling fun and exciting and interesting, and some shows you can't really say that about. And I do think early on, for this point when you've got a handful of characters really, and you've got obviously your two main characters, Jesse and Walt, who you're focusing most of your screen time on, and it just even the more basic sort of conversations and where those sort of things lead to, and even something as simple as like Jesse picking up the box in this episode is interesting. And
yeah,
in other shows, because it's for a particular reason, and even things like, you know, he's trying to fit himself in the box and he's falling over, and just the little things like that are more interesting than what they would be in other shows. And then obviously we see where that leads to, and just the pacing of the whole show. That's one thing I've kind of pointed out over the, you know, over the years that I've talked about this show on in other places, is just the consistency of the pacing of this show, because that's what I think is one of it's got Breaking Bad's got a lot of strengths, but that's one of its biggest. And it just continued in this episode as well, because that's one thing I'm keeping an eye on, is like, okay, I've said that about the show a lot of times, and it's been, you know, 6 years or whatever since I've seen the show, or it's been a long time since I've seen the show. Does it actually keep that consistent pacing as much as I remember? And two episodes into the show, it does, at least as far as I remember. So yeah, it does the simple stuff really well, and then when it gets to the more dangerous stuff and the more kind of, you've got moral dilemmas in this episode of things like murder and dissolving bodies and
yeah,
like that, and just how it kind of balances that, I think is really, really good in this episode as well.
What I find fascinating, just watching this relationship established between these two characters, the original plan for Jesse was to kill him off at the end of the first season.
Yeah.
And I find it incredible just watching it now that was, and I mean, it was basically Aaron Paul's performance that pretty much saved Jesse as a character, because Vince was so impressed with Aaron Paul and the relationship that they'd sort of built up over the first season that he decided not to do it. But that was always the original plan. And, you know, he changed his mind saying it would just be crazy. And it ends up with him becoming a, you know, the other main central character on the show. But I do find it really interesting that somewhere out there in an alternate universe, there might be a version of this show where I don't see how you move forward, you know, because so much of the show is the relationship between those two characters. It would have been such a different thing had Walt been on his own. You sort of need this, you know, it sort of counterbalances as Walt sort of descends into this, you're going from being the good guy to be the bad guy. You've got Jesse that kind of goes from, you know, being arguably the badder of the two to sort of redeeming himself. So he gets a redemption arc while the other one kind of falls in a hole. So it's kind of this interesting passing that you get. And it just makes it work so well. It just strikes me watching this episode as you're starting to see that relationship build and grow. Just how weird it would have been to not have him after this first season.
Yeah, and I think one thing that this, at least these first two episodes, do really well, they balance the, because there's comedy in this show as well. There's things that I was laughing at, and that, and they balance the sort of like, okay, you've got two very different scenes in this episode. One is where Walt is contemplating, okay, I probably have to kill this guy. I know I have to do it eventually, but I can't do it right now. And then you've got the other one where Jesse's kind of half listening to Walt about, like, why he needs to get this certain box and, like, how it will, you know, be effective against the chemicals and that sort of thing. And then he tries to sit in it and he falls over and all that sort of stuff. So you've got a really great balance of, like, okay, some comedic scenes, and then some scenes where a guy's contemplating, like, okay, I have to kill this guy and then probably dissolve his body, which, you know, moves from a comedic thing to a pretty dark thing. And then we see how that plays out in this episode. So, yeah, it's good stuff. It's very good stuff. Should we get into the main episode?
Sure.
So let's go into that. Cutting immediately to the end of last week's episode, we do initially get just a blacked out screen of the kind of aftermath last week of Skylar and Walt. They finish having sex and that, and Walt immediately starts coughing because they've kind of emphasized early on, you know, he's got this cancer. No one really knows about it. Well, I think he's the only one at this point that knows about it.
Yeah.
And he starts coughing. Obviously, he can't tell Skylar why, and he goes to the bathroom and, you know, washes his face and that sort of stuff, tries to calm himself down. Then you cut to Walt and Jesse returning the RV to Jesse's house, which was previously owned by Jesse's late aunt. When they open the RV to remove the two bodies inside, they notice Crazy 8 is still breathing despite inhaling the toxic gas. And I think that's where the cold open ends as well. So
yeah.
A few different things to talk about. You've got a small piece. I mean, you get more bits of it later in the episode of Skylar and Walt's relationship. And obviously she kind of wonders what's going on and all that sort of thing. So that's quite interesting as well. And then you've got, the stuff with Jesse and Walt in the RV as well. And that's kind of when they start to realize, like, okay, we've still got these two with us, and they pretty much know what they need to do. Cause obviously, you know, Crazy 8 and is it Emilio, I think. They've seen Jesse and Walt's face, and given the business that they're both in, and they probably will kill these two eventually. Jesse and Walt will probably get killed eventually if they don't get rid of them. So they know already from that point what they've got to do, but then you sort of see their struggle with it kind of early on, and their panic, really, as well in the episode. Mm. One thing as well that's in these scenes is Jesse's saying to Walt about, like, flooding the RV, I guess from when he's trying to start it. And then they try over and over and over again, and then they kind of have this, like, high-five sort of thing when it finally starts. And then you cut immediately from this, like, happy moment of where, okay, they're going to get out of this, you know, desert and that, when they've just been pulled out of the ditch and stuff. And then you cut to, like, okay, that's great, you've got this little victory, okay, you can drive out of this desert, but you've got two bodies behind you. And the way it kind of cuts to that, I think, is really good as well. Because you literally get the high five, and then you get the you know, breathing thing from Crazy 8. So, yeah, what do you think of this opening?
Yeah, it's great. I also love the little scene, the bit with they're talking to the guy that's pulled them out. And Walt realizes he's not got any money on him, and they had kind of having to hand him these sort of wet notes out of this bag of money. It's all so horribly shady, but it's just sort of beautifully played, and like Walt's kind of being Walt going, yeah, we really appreciate it, you know, and all this sort of stuff. I just the excuses they're making for it, and he clearly is, you could tell the guy isn't buying any of it and doesn't really care, you know, as long as he gets paid.
Yeah, it's one of them classic scenes where a character is over explaining, or both of them are over explaining what's going on, and they don't need to, and you can see it on this guy's face, but because they're obviously still so panicked from just everything that's happened, they feel like they need to explain every single little thing. And then Jesse gets this bag of wet money and hands it to him. So that was great as well.
Wonderfully comedic in a sort of straight drama, but it's just this wonderfully funny comedic scene. And so I really enjoy that. And yeah, the structuring of them just bickering like a married couple when they're sat in the RV is beautiful. And then the high five, and suddenly they hear the cough behind him. I love this opening. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And then you do get the little shot of the gas mask that's been left behind as well.
Yes. So,
Interestingly, I was kind of waiting, because I don't remember every single scene from this show, because, you know, there's a lot of episodes and whatnot. I was kind of wondering, like, okay, when is the mystery going to sort of land? Because usually with Breaking Bad's cold opens, they'd give you a weird kind of opening scene. They didn't really do it with this one. You pretty much know kind of what's going on in the opening scene. Which I thought was an interesting little change of pace. But for most of them, cold opens, I think it's kind of mysterious as to what's going on in that. But I thought that was interesting. So
it's a nice little bit of strangeness that it's starting to sort of, you know, it doesn't have a direct tie-in really back to, anything plot-wise particularly. But it's a nice little bit of weirdness that sort of ties the start and the end of the episode together, I thought. The stuff with the gas mask.
Yeah. So that's your opening scene. The unconscious Crazy 8 is taken into the basement and secured to a pole with a bike lock around his neck, which Jesse gets as well. Tests it on himself and realizes, you can't get your head out of it and whatnot. Walt suggests they should use hydrofluoric. I'm probably going to get some of these science words wrong, so that's going to be what that's going to be. Acid to dissolve Emilio's corpse so that it leaves no evidence behind, because they don't want that, of course. Walt and Jesse must dispose of the corpse and kill Crazy 8 as well, because Emilio is dead. So they have an easier job disposing him, whereas with Crazy 8 is still, well, currently alive. And they have to figure out what they're going to do with him. So to figure out that, and they do a coin toss to see who will do which task. So one's got to kill Crazy 8 and the other one's got to get this box thing. Jesse wins and chooses to dispose of the corpse, which I think is arguably the easier job, because you haven't got the moral dilemma of killing a person, but leaving Walt to kill Crazy 8 as well. So some good stuff in these scenes as well. And it does lead to an interesting weed scene later on, which I thought was a nice comedic touch as well.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later. I think, neither of these men are sort of like murderers, I guess, at this point. I mean, they kind of sort of accidentally killed Emilio because they needed something to get away from the situation, and they weren't even sure if he was dead or not when they start this episode. Walt's got on his hand, he's got to go downstairs and kill Crazy Eight. They both know that he needs to die because what else are you going to do? You get the comedic stuff with... Cause this is where I thought the episode balances itself even better with the comedic stuff, because then you really do set up like the box thing with Jesse and just the darker stuff with Walter White. Walter White is definitely capable of the comedy stuff with the weed scene later. Just doing really good stuff for pacing. What do you think of what they've got to do?
It's really interesting that whole kind of conversation where... You know, Jesse's kind of going to him, well, what do we do? And Walt's like, why are you asking me? So you got this almost like father-son dynamic going on where Jesse's sort of expecting Walt to be the grown-up and have all the answers. And, I mean, Walt's completely in over his head as well. So that was really nice that they're having this sort of back and forth going on, you know. And there's the scene earlier on where they're having the argument in the van about, you know, we're going to go back. This is before they know Crazy Eight's alive. They're sort of going to go back and we'll get rid of the bodies and then we'll never meet and never talk again, you know. And that could have been it. But then Crazy Eight wakes up. It could have been a much shorter show if it had Crazy Eight stayed dead.
Right. You get that other scene earlier on where it's like, we'll start this RV, we'll part ways and we'll never speak again. I mean, and we both know like, okay, yeah, that's not gonna happen. But
had Crazy Eight actually not come round, then, you know, maybe that would be the case. But getting rid of the body in hydrofluoric acid is the obvious. It's probably the most effective way to do it because you want to destroy evidence and you don't want anything left behind. So yes, I entirely get Walt's a chemist, so that sort of makes sense. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I understand the reason for wanting to toss the coin because you don't want to have to be the one to actually physically kill a guy intentionally. But I'm not sure if I was Walt, I would actually be trusting Jesse to do anything with hydrofluoric acid. Being the chemist and knowing what an utter screw up Jesse was at school, there's just no way I'd want to give him the responsibility for that without having some sort of overseeing of it. So, it sort of shows you the state of mind that Walt's in as well, that because had he been thinking more clearly, he would have been kind of, you know, watching Jesse through that process and making sure that he doesn't screw it up.
Yeah, because you also get a bit of history in this scene of like, we already know that like Jesse's kind of, you know, he screwed up at school and like messed about and that, and you get some more of that in this episode with him kind of saying like, the reason we need this box with this and that, and he's kind of trying to explain it to him. And you can kind of see that Jesse's like, you know, that being sort of hot-headed or whatever and not kind of listening and that, and it was good to get a little bit of history with the two of them there. Kind of bring that back to, I think I said this, well, yeah, last week's episode, the previous episode, kind of said about like when obviously Jesse dropped out of school or whatever, and Walt kind of thinks, thank God I haven't got to teach this kid anymore, and then Jesse thinks, thank God I haven't got to put up with this teacher anymore, and then years later they come back together for, you know, something which Jesse needs to kind of sort of remember things that he was taught at school with the science, with this box and that. And then you get basically like a later years lecture sort of thing where Walt's telling him about like, this is why you'll need this box and this is why it's got this label and that. And it kind of comes back to haunt Jesse in a way, because he's in a much more, well, life and death situation where if he'd have listened a bit more at school, he might have learned some similar things. Because you got two examples. You got the previous episode with what, the beakers or whatever. One of them was like bigger and smaller and that sort of thing. And then you've got the thing this episode with the box. So I like that dynamic about them as well. So again, it's pretty basic stuff, like it really is, but the show makes it better in its early seasons. So that's good as well. Walt instructs Jesse to buy a bin made from
Polyethylene.
Polyethylene, yep. In which the corpse can be properly dissolved, but Jesse cannot find a bin big enough to accommodate this. Walt thinks about suffocating Crazy 8, but is unable to go through with it in the act. Instead, he gives Crazy 8 food, water, toilet, hand sanitizer, all sorts of things. Toilet roll, everything like that. Everything he'll need to survive, basically. And also gives him a plate. Keep that in mind. When Jesse returns home and asks if Crazy 8 has been killed, Walt promises to take care of it the next day as he's smoking Jesse's weed. There's some montages in here about, like, because this is the thing I was referencing earlier in the episode where, you've got Jesse, he's kind of falling out of this box and he's trying to not act suspicious in, is it Walmart or wherever he's gone to?
It's like a Home Depot or something. And he's trying, I like the fact that he's kind of, he's on the phone to Walt. He's kind of arguing about, well, why do I need this? And Walt does explain that it won't eat through the plastic and that's why he needs this particular type. And he sort of takes it out and then sort of hides in one of the aisles to sort of quickly try and leap in the box to see whether a body would fit in it. Yeah. It's just, it's wonderfully comical. I love that scene. And the bit with Walt when he goes downstairs to suffocate Crazy 8 and Crazy 8's woken up. And what I like is where he finds the bag, where he's kind of looking around the house at, like, knives and hammer and, things that he could use to actually do the deed, and actually pulls a bag out that has a couple of pistols in it, puts the pistols on the side and, like, looks at the bag. It's such a lovely scene, that of him, looking at it, and he's got all these potential ways where he could kind of, do it quite brutally, and he kind of picks the plastic bag because suffocating him is probably the kindest way to do it,
I mean, things like, bashing someone's head with a hammer or stabbing them with a knife is probably quite, tough enough.
Or shooting them, it's kind of loud, noisy, it's visceral. Whereas, sticking a bag over their head when they're already tied down to something is probably, and the fact that he was expecting him not to be awake at the time. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't really expecting him to kind of move around or anything. So that sort of makes the most sense as being the way that you want to do it if you're going to, because he's tied up. And so I can sort of see his logic behind it, but it's just quite funny that it's a bag. The bag that he uses is one that he found the actual guns in, and rather than pick up and use the gun, he goes and takes the bag instead. I really like that scene. I think it's really, again, says something about Walt as a character, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting as well, now that you mentioned the whole gun in the bag, because the gun's going to be the worst and the loudest option, because your neighbours and probably other people are going to hear it, and then that's going to cause you trouble, and the bag's probably the most silent way to do it as well. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting, because as soon as he took the gun out, because I think it was, wasn't it the same gun he was, no, it wasn't, because that was a pistol, and this is a Magnum, I think, because he was aiming the pistol at the, down the road in the desert in the first episode. Either of the two would have been pretty loud, but that's the last thing you want to do. So I thought that was good as well. But yeah, just this, you get these montages of both of them. One's kind of comedically trying to fit into a box and kind of half listening on the phone about, like, this is, you want to look for this label and this is why it will work and all that, and Jesse's not quite sort of getting it, of like, oh, why can't we just, like, stick them in the bathtub and do it that way?
Yeah.
Of course he'll find out later why that's not a good idea. and then you get this darker stuff with Walter, like, browsing through these weapons essentially, and then trying to just sort of figure out, and then kind of just shoves the whole thing to the side, and then decides to smoke Jesse's weed.
That's a great montage scene as well, of him trying to roll the joint repeatedly. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, and he has to use two things, doesn't he? So
yes,
to tie it together. I do like as well, because he comes back and he says he couldn't find a big enough box. There's a bit that I like, because it comes back together, because you've got the comedic stuff with Jesse in the box, you've got the more darker stuff with Walter and the weapons. Then Jesse comes back and you get the comedy, which is kind of switched over to Walter, because he's the one who's sitting there smoking and Jesse just, like, can't quite believe that that's happening.
Yeah.
And you get this kind of double thing of like Jesse coming back and realizing it's hilarious because his high school teacher from years ago is smoking his weed at his house and that, and then
and then you get this
other part where it's like, wait a minute, is that my weed? And he's like, yeah, yourself at home it. and all this sort of stuff. So I thought that was a good kind of it was a kind of a double revelation for him,
yeah.
Because he kind of realizes straight away like, okay, my former chemistry teacher smoking weed in my house, and then wait a minute, that's my supply.
Yeah,
so I thought that was a good touch as well. But it switches tones up a little bit. So, yeah. I thought that was good as well. Meanwhile, Skylar begins to suspect that Walt is doing something in secret due to his recent strange behavior. After Jesse makes a phone call to Walter's home, which he pretends it's some sort of insurance company, I think. Skylar traces his phone number online quite easily and discovers his drug-related website, which doesn't look very good. So, I just want to kind of pause there and that sort of thing. Any thoughts on Jesse's website?
It's not like it's a website for selling drugs. I mean, that's, of course, is the ironic thing at this point, is we're now in a point that I'm not sure about New Mexico, actually, but certainly if it was somewhere like California, it would be legal to sell weed anyway. So, you know, but it's a website that is obviously somebody that really likes weed, and it's some sort of online profile. This is the one bit that doesn't entirely ring true for me. She manages to track down whose number that is fairly easily, which seems a little suspicious to me. But and I don't understand why they did it that way, because it sort of gets you to where you need to go with the confrontation with Skylar and Jesse. But if I had any criticism of that episode, it's like that seemed a little overly convenient as a plot device, just to get her. But you know, overlooking that minor thing, the actual phone call between sort of where Jesse rings up, I think it's AT&T pretends to be somebody asking about switching the service to AT&T, and then Walt picks up the phone, and that's when Skylar starts to get very suspicious about it. And I mean it's just funny that you go to that website and it's the website is this sort of online vision of Jesse in a sort of web page, you know, of just drugs everywhere, yeah. And like funny.
I mean, the most notable thing from these scenes is like, okay, Skylar's reaction to everything, because she goes to do the, I think it's like a redial button or whatever, and then hears the voicemail, tracks that, and then sees this website, and then just her realization of like, okay, my husband's lied to me, he's been acting a bit weird. And so switching over to her character a little bit, it's not, you know, it's mostly about Walt and Jesse, but there's other characters involved, Skylar being one of them, of course. I thought that was an interesting little bit of character development, or, you know, development for Skylar and that sort of thing. She questions Walt as to who he is, and Walt lies by saying that Jesse sells him marijuana. They are involved in drugs together, but not in that way. So it's a lie, obviously. Skylar finds his address and confronts Jesse while he is trying to dispose of Amelia, warning him that her brother is a DEA agent. Skylar doesn't notice the body because Jesse hides it fairly well, actually. So because you got sort of the legs that are sticking out, I think you can see his shoes or something, and he kind of like stands in front of it. I thought that was a good little scene as well. You got, again, you've kind of got a little bit of like clumsy comedy from Jesse, because he kind of realizes like, okay, I have to hide this body, and then you got the serious stuff from Skylar, which gets toned down a little bit. Not quickly, but kind of realistically, she kind of realizes like, okay, this guy, she doesn't look at him as being very much of a sort of threat or.
No,
as a kind of problem, because she goes there all kind of hot-headed in that, and like, you know, wants to sort of moan at him because obviously the involvement of Walter and the whole marijuana stuff and that, and then she kind of realizes like just the way she kind of sees Jesse, I think, and then realizes like, okay, I don't have to be too worried about this necessarily. It was done pretty well. So what do you think of all of this Skylar and Jesse and everything?
I think there's a lovely scene actually in the hospital where, you know, he sort of confesses, slightly confesses that, you know, who Jesse is and the fact that he's his pot dealer. And, you know, Walter's sort of saying he likes it and all this sort of stuff. There is a really nice little hint of Heisenberg in that, in the, you know, he's having this conversation with, you know, he's there with his wife who's just had a scan. They've just found out that they're having a baby girl. You know, it's all this kind of loving, supposedly loving thing. And you get this glint of Walt just turning very slightly and sort of, you know, I need you to get out, you know, crawl out of my ass, I think is the phrase that he actually uses. And it's quite menacing. And it's just that little switch. And it's kind of the very first time we get a hint of this other side of Walt. And that's just quite interesting to see at that point, in the fact that it's directed at Skylar, I think. So you have that. And he obviously doesn't, you know, he has no intention of stopping himself, which is why Skylar then goes over to Jesse and almost catches him dragging this body across the floor. They're sort of pointing out that her brother-in-law is this DEA agent, and how she misses the corpse is just unbelievable. You know, she doesn't, because he's sort of just behind the car and his feet are slightly sticking out. You can see Jesse kind of panicking. And I mean, I understand Skylar not seeing Jesse as a huge threat, because if she thinks, oh well, he's just a pot dealer, you know, that's one thing. She obviously doesn't know about any of the harder drugs and the other stuff they're being involved with. So,
and she gives him this warning of like that, planting the seed of like, okay, I'm related to a DEA agent, and kind of planting the threat there.
Yeah.
As opposed to her trying to be more of the threat to Jesse, it's more like, okay, this is specifically tied to, you know, the drugs and the marijuana and that, which connects to my husband, which connects to me. And her kind of planting that seed. So I thought that was basically her way of sort of threatening him in a way. Instead of her being like, okay, I'm going to come after you, it's like, okay, I know someone who's, you know, got more legal power than me, I suppose.
Yeah.
And could come after you. I mean, I get, I even with the first and the second time, or however many times I've seen this with the body, I never really had that much trouble with that per se. He's sort of standing in front of the body with the, next to the car and that, because the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, he's gonna have to, you know, explain what that's about, but she never finds it. So I always thought that scene was done pretty well. So,
yeah.
And yeah, like you said, with the hospital scene and him kind of like bursting out a little bit and saying like, I want you to crawl out of my ass, or out from, you know, out my ass or whatever, and kind of, you know, get off my case, but much more aggressively than what we'd expect Walter to do. Is kind of early signs of the Heisenberg personality. So, yeah, again, going back to the podcast name, Becoming Heisenberg. So,
yes.
going on to the last scene and my favourite scene of the episode, where everything really just comes together, everything that's been built up in this episode just comes together in a really great way. Jesse does not find the specific plastic bin Walt instructed him to use, well, not a big enough one anyway, so he decides to dissolve the corpse in the upstairs bathtub. However, the hydrofluoric acid dissolves the ceramic and metal bathtub along with the body, so all of it. This causes the ceiling beneath it to collapse, spilling Emilio's body all over the hallway. Walt tells Jesse that hydrofluoric acid will dissolve anything except plastic. Meanwhile, there's some Native American children that find Walt's gas mask, which we'll talk about in a minute. And that's the actual end of the episode. It just the way this all comes together. And yeah. I remember the first time I saw this, and as soon as you start hearing like creaking, and I think this scene's perfectly built up, because you get it throughout the episode of like, okay, this is why you'll need this thing. And then Jesse kind of ignoring that and not really understanding the reasons, and then suggesting the bathtub early on, and then actually using it. And you can see in the scene where he's even pouring the acid into the bathtub, he's kind of lost his patience completely, and he's like, all right, I'm just going to do this. I don't see the problem. I'm not going to listen to my teacher again, you know, my former teacher again, who's now my drug dealing partner and all that. And just the way those things connect together, and then as they're going into the hallway and they can kind of start hearing this cracking, and Walt's again explaining to him like, okay, this is why you'll need to do this and that and everything, and then you slowly see it all collapse. I think it's perfect. So and it's I think the more times I've seen that scene, the funnier it is, just because it's Jesse really messing up, and it's Walt again bashing him over the head with, like, okay, if you'd have listened to me again, like you didn't used to, and you aren't doing it again now, we wouldn't have, well, this bigger problem on our hands.
You can practically hear the cogs turning in Jesse's head of, like, I know, I'm going to take him up and do it in the bathtub. I'm a genius. Why didn't we think of this before? What's he making me go out around town and finding these plastic bins for when I can just do it in the bathtub upstairs? What's he thinking of? I'm a genius. This is brilliant. And you can sort of, you know, and he's kind of having a go at Walt and talking about the fact that, oh, you know, this is so difficult, I had to drag him all the way up the stairs, you know, you weren't here and all this sort of stuff. And, like, Walt's like, wait, what? Why did you drag him upstairs? So, yeah, it's the way that realization comes out, and Walt's like, oh, God, you idiot. And
it's brilliant.
It's almost kind of Laurel and Hardy-ish, you know, or a sort of Three Stooges sketch in some respects, that of just, like, one of them doing something really stupid and the other one like, oh, for sake. And so, yeah, and when it actually falls through the ceiling, I mean, I don't know what they use for that, but it's gross. Just this, because there's not really any recognizable body parts. It really is just this sludge full of, you know, viscous liquid and meat, essentially. I mean, they must have had great fun, like, the props guys putting that together must have just been over the moon doing that. It must have been hilarious just to come up with something that's so horrific.
I think I remember, you know, it's been a long time since I first watched the show, but as he's kind of, you know, you get the scene earlier with Jesse is pouring the acid in the bathtub and that, and you're like, wait a minute, no, Walt told you specifically kind of not to do that, and then Jesse doesn't listen, and just the way it builds up to it falling down, you kind of, it's just this slow build up of this crash, essentially, and you're just right there kind of with Walter of, like, what have you done, Jesse? It's brilliant. So great end to the episode, and then just the little scene at the end, two Native American children playing in the desert, and one of them finds Walt's gas mask, which he left behind. I don't actually in this moment remember what that leads to, but obviously we're going to watch the rest of the show.
I don't know whether it actually leads to anything, or I mean, you may do, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, because there's certain big things I remember, like the body falling through the ceiling and that, the RV crash from last week, and there's big set pieces I definitely remember from the show, and obviously lots of other parts, but not every single little thing. So
yeah, it's nice not actually kind of remembering whether these things lead to anything or not. I mean, it's either way, it's a nice little way of tying the sort of start and end of the scene together, but the show together. But I mean, I don't remember either whether that actually leads to anything more.
So that's the end of the second episode. We'll be back next week, both for us and the audience, time-wise, that works out. We'll be back next week with episode 3. Like we've said, we don't have any feedback because no one knows that we're doing this podcast. And what we're going to do, I think, is wait until the episodes start coming out, which will be the 2nd of September, the week after Classic Reviews finishes. And then, you know, give people, because I don't think we'll be, we won't be finished with the season by the time the first few episodes come out, so write in some early stuff and that, and we'll see what we do when we get to, like, episode 6 or 7, if we get some feedback or which episodes have come out by that point, and sort of thing. So we shall see, but I'm very much enjoying this ride, so
me too.
It somehow feels quite special to go back to this. I mean, the show still means a lot to me and all that, and I still think it's the best thing I've seen. It's pretty special to go back to some of these big marquee things sometimes. So cool. But in the meantime, you can find everything else that's on entertainmenttalk.org, Gaming Talk Podcast, Classic Reviews. Like I've said, there'll be 4 seasons out by the time you hear this episode, some TV talk stuff, and lots of other podcasts that are on entertainmenttalk.org. If you want to find David, he is on geektown.co.uk. That's for your up-to-date and reliable TV and film news. If you want that in weekly format, Geektown Radio Tuesdays, that's on Geektown Radio and on geektown.co.uk, so get yourself involved over there. You can simply subscribe to Entertainment Talk and Geek Town on iTunes, and that will get you the episodes. So have a look out for that. You can find Bex on Twitch. She is Trystabytes, B-Y-T-E-S on Twitch. Go and search for her over there for some geeky chatter, some gaming stuff, and some other cool stuff that she's doing as well. So subscribe or follow to her on Twitch, whatever you want to do over there, and go and join in with that sort of stuff. Barry has recently, well, as of time of recording, he's recently started a horror podcast. That's called Talk and Stalk. It's on YouTube. If you search for it, you should be able to find it on there. The first episode, at least at the moment, is out. There should be more episodes out by the time you hear the podcast, so go and check that out and get subscribed over there. Was there one other person stuff to mention? You, Bex, Barry, me, Entertainment Talk. I think that's everybody. So lots of people's stuff to go and check out, so go and do all that as well. If you want to support the podcast and support Entertainment Talk, we're on Patreon. You can have a look at the $1 and $3 level tiers for instant podcast, ad-free podcast, and review options as well. Amazon affiliate link, if you're buying stuff on Amazon, we can get a small cut, but it won't cost you extra. Like I said, iTunes feeds, please rate, review, subscribe to those, Entertainment Talk and Geektown. Word of mouth, tell people that you know about the website and the iTunes feeds, and Bex's stream, and David's Geektown, and Robert's horror podcast and all that. Put them in different Facebook groups if you can, and Facebook and Twitter and all that sort of stuff. Twitch, at the moment I'm going to be streaming Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima, so there will obviously be spoilers in there for that. So you can find that on my Twitch channel. David sometimes streams on Twitch as well, so have a look out for that, and look out for Let's Play Sundays. Thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you for episode 3 next week. Goodbye.
Bye.